Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals truth, freedom, and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait. Call now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The good news is the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, and because he's alive, so much that we read in the Bible, we can know for sure that it applies to us. Mm-hmm. And that is the hardest part of this Christian life, is coming to the point and really believing that what Jesus says about us is actually true. That's why we have such a hard time forgiving ourselves, letting go of the past. And that's our topic for the day. Why can't I forgive myself? We're on reason number 3, day number 18 of the 28-day forgiveness challenge. And one of the reasons that people put forth is why they have such a hard time forgiving themselves is because they feel unworthy or unlovable. And you meet people all the time that feel that way. I'm just not worthy of anybody's love. I'm just an unlovable person. We see that in the prodigal son, don't we? In Luke chapter 15, here's this man who had two sons, and the young one wanted to get his portion of the inheritance and go out and make a name for himself. And he went out and he just got involved in wild and reckless living. He lost all of his money and he ended up in a pig pen. Eating with the pigs. And he thought, my goodness, the servants at my dad's house are better shape than I am. And so he concocts this speech, and he's going to go to his dad, and he's basically going to say, I'm unworthy to be called your son. That's that feeling of being unworthy or unlovable. I don't deserve anything. Just treat me as one of your servants. But that's not God. God doesn't treat us like a servant. God treats us as his very own. He's claimed us. He sent Jesus. And so we have to come to the point and really believe that God indeed loves us. And he demonstrated that love for us in this, that he sent Jesus to die in our place. That was proof of God's love. And because God went to that action to show his love, that proves that we are lovable. We may feel unlovable, but God says something different. He is pouring out his love on us each and every minute of every single day. You're a lovable person because God has chosen to love you. Yeah. Period. End of story. Believe it. Receive it. Your life will be different. I guarantee you. You will be able to let go of that past. You will be able to forgive yourself. You will be able to walk into the freedom that is yours in Christ Jesus.
If you have a question about this, or if there's something else kind of bugging you, a particular Bible passage that you can't quite understand, some particular issue in life that you're facing and don't have an answer for it, that's why we're here. Give us a call, friends. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time. Plenty of open lines. Want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Richmond, California, and talk with D.C., listening to us on KDIA. Hi, D.C.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Bob. And hi, Richard.
Hey, DC. Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you on this throwback Thursday, as they call it out there in the social media world.
My question is, will the rapture happen before the devil and the demons and the false prophet and Antichrist, before they come on the scene, will a rapture happen before that? Because I'd be kind of scared. I'm going to be stuck down here with the demons and stuff.
Well, D.C., no need to be frightened. God is for you, not against you. God has marked you out as one of his own, and he is not going to let evil overcome you. You can count on that. That's his promise to those that know him, that have come to him by faith. There's lots of speculation, lots of disagreement, lots of discussion about end times. The timeline, what is it going to look like? Is God going to to rapture the church out of here before the Great Tribulation starts. That's kind of the latest thinking, or I guess the most prevalent thinking that's out there in the Christian world today. It's probably been out there the last 150 years or so. We don't know. There's certainly passages that would lead you to think that that might be the case. But there's others that say, no, that all of this is going to take place at the second coming of Christ. There's no two separate events, the rapture and then the second coming of Christ. The scripture only speaks of the second coming of Christ, and that's when the final judgment will be made. That's when we'll be revealed with Christ, and all the world will look at us and know us to be the children of God that we are. So either way you look at it, you're going to have to come to the point and realize that your hope is in Christ and Christ alone, that he's already marked you out, DC. There's nothing to fear. Your punishment went upon Jesus. Your sins have already been judged in Christ. There's no condemnation. You are saved from the wrath to come. That is a promise. Rest in it, embrace it, trust it, and let that embolden you in your day-to-day walk today.
Okay, thank you. God bless you guys.
Hey, thank you, DC. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, plenty of open lines again, 1-800-677-9377. Throwback Thursday, what are we throwing back?
Well, it's just one of those days. A couple weeks ago, I put a picture up on my Facebook page of my mom and dad and me when I was like 2 months old or something. So.
And your mom threw it back?
No, she liked it. She liked it. It was Throwback Thursday.
I see. Yeah, oh, so, that's what it means.
Okay. Yes. So I'm glad you've gotten into the 21st century with
clarification
that.
There.
Well, let's go to Queens, New York, and talk with Gil, our good friend Gil, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, happy Sheep Day.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thanks for talking to my friend Martin from Brooklyn. I met him at the library. He's blind and got to lead him to the Lord a few years ago. I'm grateful that he calls your show sometimes. I think he called yesterday, actually.
Yes, he did.
Praise God. That's right. In Luke, I think it's chapter 12, it says, he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Could you explain what that really means? And is it Luke chapter 12 where it, does it mean to lift up? And what sense does Jesus lift us up in humility and all of that? And being humble versus pride? The opposite. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble.
Well, we see pride very prevalent in the world today. Everybody's out to make a name for themselves, and they're very proudful of that name that they have. But that name means nothing in light of who they really are, and that's a sinner until they come to Christ. And so you have to humble yourself to recognize your real condition apart from Jesus Christ. When you recognize your real condition apart from Jesus Christ, you turn to him for salvation. He lifts you up. He takes you from death to life. He changes your identity from sinner to child of God. And there's no higher position in the created universe than child of God. And so we are lifted up, exalted up to that place as we humble ourselves in recognition of who we are apart from Christ. So I think that's what he's talking about there in Luke. We see that, the writers in the New Testament, Peter and James, talk about that. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. He says to humble yourselves and Christ will exalt you at the right time. And that's what that means, Gil. We have nothing to bring to the table. And so many who buy into kind of a religious mindset, they believe that God does something and that we do something, that we add to the equation, that we have something that we can bring to the table. And there's only one reason that we would ever think that we would have something to bring to the table, and that's pride. We're prideful of our position. But we are nothing as far as God is concerned. And when we recognize that, then we become everything through faith in him.
And if we become everything, we could also lift other people up, because when I was in the library, I was disappointed that there were no students to show up for Braille. I was teaching Braille, and Martin was teaching Braille, and neither one of our clients showed up, so it gave me a chance to witness to him. And since he's been saved, he's been lifting me up. Like, you know, when I'm alone, he gets people to call me, and if they don't, he gets upset. But he still calls me and keeps in touch with me. And the Bible says in Hebrews, his favorite verse, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we have the same gift, the same character, since Christ is living his life in us. Am I correct?
Yes, yes, indeed.
That's a real friend.
Absolutely. And you all can encourage and build up and edify one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about. That's why we need to be connected with other believers, and not just through social media, not just through electronic connections, but face-to-face, rubbing shoulders, being in each other's presence. There's something powerful that takes place when brothers and sisters in Christ assemble together around the Word of God, around praying together, around encouraging one another. We actually get to see Christ in action. So I think what you and your friend are doing is so vitally important for the health and spiritual welfare of both of you. So hats off to you, Gil.
Yeah, I do a phone ministry in a church, and sometimes, you know, I call people, I let them know, you know, about not forsaking, whatever. And I love leaving that on the answering machine. I do a phone ministry where I call up pastors to let them know about meetings, but I also call up people and I teach them the Word of God, or basically let them know, you know, if they have any questions about the Bible. So my pastor gave me numbers to call people, and he do that at my church in the office as well.
Well, that's excellent. Well, you keep spreading that word. You keep lifting people up, encouraging them, and pointing them to Christ, who is the one who will ultimately exalt them.
Well, I hope you don't mind me sending both you and Bob there, Davis, a big electronic hug, because Bob Davis really really refreshes my memory back to the Bob George days. I still feel it because, like I said before, not everybody knows, but I think I started to know the Lord through that program, People to People.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And we're so thankful for that, Gil,
yes,
and so glad that you are fruit that remains, so to speak. So
yeah.
God bless you,
thank
and
you
thanks for
your Gil.
Call. We sure appreciate it,
yes,
as
indeed.
Always.
Yeah. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time, plenty of open lines. If you have something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you. 1-800-677-9377. Also, we invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click subscribe to join our email list. Sign up today to receive the radio broadcast daily, blog posts by Bob Christopher, and other ministry updates as well. Again, that's subscribe at basicgospel.net. Guys, a question from Carol, and hers is concerning clear vision, as, you know, it kind of relates to what Gil was talking about. She says, my question is about flesh versus spirit. I like to comfort my stress level with drinking wine after work and on weekends. I realize that keeping up this old habit is only giving me foggy vision. For the first time in my life, this habit is now taking over, and I'm not progressing as a Christian. My foot is walking a fine line, and now it's time to step into the spirit as opposed to the flesh. Please give me your insight to take the final step to serve the Lord. So first, the wine issue, then how does Carol begin to walk in the Spirit?
Well, that's really a good question. And yet it exposes a misconception that most of us have, that somehow the things we do make us closer to God or farther away from Him. And but at the same time, if the Spirit is impressing her that it's time to give up some of the drinking that she's been doing, well, by all means, walk by faith in what the Spirit is showing you. But on the other hand, you are as close to the Spirit, as close to God as you can possibly be as His child.
Yeah.
And so the issue is one of coming to recognize rather than finding a way to get closer.
Yeah, and I think that it gets back to dependence,
yes.
What you're depending upon for meaning and purpose to life. So obviously she's gotten to a place in her life where that glass of wine is more than just a glass of wine to her.
Mm-hmm.
It is, she's relying on that to kind of give her a sense of peace or a sense of rest from the day. So there's a dependence upon that that's starting to grow. And God doesn't want us to be dependent on anything or any person other than Him. That's what it means to be controlled by the Spirit or to be filled with the Spirit. We have our dependence upon Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So when you recognize that there's a misplaced dependency, it's easy to fix. You can say, Lord, I've been depending upon this glass of wine to do something for me when I should have been depending upon you. It's only through faith in you that I can experience genuine peace. We can experience temporary peace or a worldly peace through all sorts of things. I mean, we can go on vacation and get out in the woods and we have a sense of peace, but then we have to come back to the, quote, the real world, and we're just back into the rat race again. We can drink alcohol as you know, with Robin Williams, you know, and his suicide several weeks ago. You know, all kinds of stories are coming out, and he admitted to having a problem with cocaine and alcohol. Why did he have a problem? Because that gave him a sense of peace, but it didn't solve the problem. Mm-hmm. So we have to get back to, what are we depending upon? And whatever we're depending upon is going to ultimately control us. And so we don't need to be controlled by a glass of wine. That's going to lead us to make really crazy decisions. We see that in the world today. So if you recognize that there's a misplaced dependence there, then let go of it and embrace this life of faith in Jesus. Let Him be the one that you depend upon, and you'll start experiencing genuine peace, peace that transcends all understanding.
Yeah, and it's very important to know that when we're talking about misplaced dependency, we're not talking about alcoholism or drug abuse, although it can become that. Anything, good things. For me, in my life, I've got to be careful how much music I listen to. I get lost in the music, and life is beautiful, but as soon as I take the headphones off, I'm back in life. So who am I depending on, or what am I depending on? And so the Spirit constantly reminds us, brings us around, and says, look, you're taking your eyes off of Jesus. Come back and look at Jesus, and we'll fit all this other stuff in that needs to be fit in, and we'll get rid of the things that need to be gotten rid of. You're mine. Let's walk together.
Yes, indeed.
Well, again, this is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad that you've joined us. We'd love for you to join us by phone. If you have that question that you just can't get an answer to, we'd love to address it with you. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, a question from Raymond, who writes to us from Indianapolis. He says, I've been talking with someone of a particular persuasion. They believe that if you have the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. I tell them that is not true. All don't speak in tongues. And they believe if you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it doesn't count. You can only get baptized in the name of Jesus. I want to show them that what they're saying isn't true. Can you help with some scriptures and point me to the in the right direction? That's from Raymond in Indianapolis.
Very interesting questions, yeah. And we're always looking for answers or particular Bible verses to answer specific questions. And sometimes I think we need to step back and take a big picture view of things. And when we take a big picture view of things, we get the answer to those little questions. And I think this is the case here. You know, you have to speak in tongues to prove that you're saved. That's what it means to be saved, according to the people that they're talking about. Well, I think we have to step back and say, well, what is salvation? That's the big picture question. And once we understand what salvation is, then this question over here about whether we should speak in tongues or not gets answered. Salvation is about life. When you and I come into this world, we're dead spiritually. We're under the condemnation of God. The wrath of God is upon us. We are released from that, set free from that through faith in Jesus Christ. A crossover occurs. We cross over from death to life. Where our spirits are quickened, made alive together with Christ, then Christ sends His Spirit to live inside of us. And He confirms that by giving us an inner testimony that we indeed belong to God. It's not a speaking in tongues. When you look at tongues in the Bible, you see that it was always used basically for evangelistic purposes, to share the good news of Jesus with those who couldn't understand your language. So God would equip them with that spiritual gift so that the gospel message would be delivered in such a way that somebody could receive it and be saved. So it's not a sign that you're saved. That sign is the mark of the Holy Spirit, the deposit guaranteeing our future redemption and resurrection of the body. And God's Spirit testifies with our human spirit that we belong to Christ. So I think we need to take a step back and ask those big picture questions, especially when it relates to speaking in tongues as a sign that you're saved, and his other issue there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ramon, hope you are listening and hope that's been a help to you. Again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Flushing, New York, and talk with, is it Young?
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, this is my first time to call. I got a question in the New Testament. I was reading the Jesus conversation with many kinds of people. Jesus talked with the Samaritan woman and Nicodemus, and then sometimes a demon-possessed person. So I was thinking how I can use the Jesus words to me, because maybe I'm like Samaritan woman, and Jesus wouldn't say, I'm sorry. The thing is, Jesus used the living water with the Samaritan woman, and then also Jesus talked about the born again with the Nicodemus.
Yes.
So
yes.
Maybe I'm not represent. Maybe my current state, spiritual state, is maybe like Samaritan woman. So maybe the conversation with the Nicodemus wouldn't apply to me.
Well,
maybe
young...
I'm like Pharisees, so Jesus wouldn't say about living water. So I don't know how I can.
Well, Young, let me jump in real fast just for time's sake. I love how you couch this question and the fact that Jesus talked to various people and from all walks of life. And I think that tells us something, that Jesus is interested in every person. It doesn't matter their heritage or background or ethnicity or any of those things. Jesus is interested in all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, Young, will not perish but have everlasting life. And so when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, she was trying to find happiness and meaning and purpose through all these different sexual relationships. And what Jesus said is to find real meaning and purpose to life, that's through faith in me, the one who can become living water for you. And Young, I think that's what he's trying to say to you, that you can find real meaning and purpose to life as you trust in Jesus. And when you trust in Jesus, that's when you're born again. You're born again into the family of God. And so, Young, you know, have you come to that point where you've trusted Jesus, where you've been born again of the Spirit, or is that kind of a work in process?
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
My question was like, what would be God's message to me right now? Maybe
okay.
If I'm like,
well, Young, let me do this for you. We're about out of time on the broadcast. Let me put you on hold, and I'll pick up with you as soon as we're finished. Okay, you hang on.
A quick reminder, friends, that this month for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you'll receive Bob Christopher's message called And the Love of God. Of course, the bottom line is supporting the ministry. We would love for you to partner with us to get everyone possible connected to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. To make your gift and request your copy of In the Love of God, visit BasicGospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that's BasicGospel.net or 800-727-2828. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.